This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Hey, history lovers, we are back. This Day in History, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian on lineupmedia.fm, brought to you by Amazon.com and by Audible.com. Today we break down the 27th of July throughout the annals of time, the events, the births, the deaths, and we'll give you an update on Armand's love life as he tries to get some sweeps going on Tinder.
No, I'm on Bumble.
On Bumble.
I've got a theory about this site.
Okay, let's hear it.
And this can't be a coincidence. I think they put the dogs on there all in a row, and they put the good-looking ones
all
in a row.
How did they rate them?
I don't know, but it's just like, because they got very rarely do I go back and one left, one right, one left, one right. It's always like six in a row right or six or seven in a row left.
Maybe the reason you have a lot of non-attractive people is the attractive people are already paired up and don't need to be on Bumble.
That's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is they all come in streaks. There's like seven or eight good-looking ones in a row, and then there's like 10 or 12 dogs in a row. I'm sure they probably say that about me too. And I'm like,
well, they
it's
say
just you, odd. That can't be a coincidence. Every time.
I think they say you're an erudite-looking fella.
Oh yeah. Have you seen my picture?
I'm looking at you right now.
I don't
now.
Look erudite. I got a drink in my hand. I'm trying to look like convivial.
Which you are not.
It's not working. Yeah.
No, you're not fooling anybody.
I think I'd just scowl and look like I'm brooding. Remember that Happy Days where Richie couldn't get laid and Fonzie told him, you got to act like James Dean.
No, yeah, you got to get that look.
Yeah, he has to have angst. He's banging his head against, what's the matter? I don't know. That was great, man. He's like crying and shit.
Now, was Shirley his cousin or was Laverne his cousin?
I don't think they were cousins, were they? Because they went on dates. Remember, they introduced him on that double date.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so he wasn't related to him.
I kind of thought Laverne and the Fonz were somehow related.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think so. They went on the date.
They went on the date.
And and he got Shirley. Richie got Shirley.
He got Shirley Defeny. Yeah. We'll break that down later for you when Happy Days comes around.
And by the way, I was thinking
did Norman Lear have anything to do with Happy Days?
No, that's that's not normal.
Well, it's his birthday.
He's like 96 or something.
Yeah, we'll get
getting
to him.
Up there.
We'll get to him later. All right, the events, again, the births, the deaths, everything. We got some fairly significant events today that affect the world we live in. Not what you might think.
I didn't see any.
Oh, I saw one. I saw one that I think's big. And then the one right behind it is big as well. And then the one right behind that, three in a row. The others are just, they're notable. But I start in 1549, Armand, where the Jesuits, who are always getting after it, I love the Jesuits. They're always moving around. They're always trying to influence.
What the hell is this guy?
Well, Francis Xavier, his ship reaches Japan on this date, July the 27th, 1549. Good luck.
Well, it didn't work. They're still Shinto.
Yeah, no, it didn't. Didn't take.
Lucky a samurai didn't.
How'd that Catholicism work in Japan? It didn't take.
Who cares?
Well, you got to hand
let
it
let
to
them worship the way they want.
Hand it to the Jesuits,
stop
though, man.
Proselytizing.
They
make wine.
They founded universities, education. Yeah. Where would we be without the Jesuits?
It's too terrible to contemplate.
Right. 1694. Well, the King of England.
Yeah, this is terrible to contemplate.
He grants
too.
A royal charter, and he grants it to who, you ask? The Bank of England.
1694 with William III. You dumb schmuck.
Has William III ever been referred to as a dumb schmuck?
William of Orange. He was a lemon right here.
He laid a lemon with the Bank of England.
Limey.
Well, at least
that limey orange bastard.
At least it was a gold standard.
Yeah, but here we go. I mean, this is the beginning of the end.
It's still central.
Banks of England, still, Banks of the United States.
Still central banking.
You see the Volcker rule? They were talking about that
Paul
on CNBC.
Volcker. Is it Paul Volcker?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's not even his rule. I don't know why they named it his, but anyway, there's a guy was talking about on CNBC. I didn't even know this. Banks can't buy something if they think it's cheap. This guy was going off on it. I loved him. Can you imagine that?
They can't buy something if they think it's cheap.
It's too risky. You know,
what's risky about it?
They're investing. I mean, like buying GM or something. If they think it's cheap, they can't buy it because it's too risky. All these stress tests, all this bullshit we put on the banks, and they still can't. If they think, you know, they can't invest their money or their people's money.
Is this Trump's going to get rid of it? Hold on. Is this a depository bank for the run of
commercial
the,
bank,
or is this an investment bank?
Well, you can't be both now. Apparently, that's what the Volcker rule says. Well, that's just stupid.
You can't.
Well, you can't invest in anything.
And that's what Glass-Steagall was partly about, that the bank can't take deposits of people.
That's not what Glass-Steagall said. Glass-Steagall said, and this is why it's a misnomer, that this would have prevented anything. You know, it's always the crisis came because Glass-Steagall was rescinded. It's not true. Glass-Steagall only said you can't invest in anything less than AAA grade.
Right.
Which is, the banks did that.
I was going to make that point, but you cut me off.
Well, there it is. I make the point better.
Okay.
So anyway, but that's the point. That Glass-Steagall, that doesn't hold any water. The problem was, and we've talked about this, Moody's, Fitch, Standard Poor's, it's the rating agencies. It's the manipulation of the rating.
There you go.
Right.
All right, 1775. This is a good thing that the U.S. did. The founding of the U.S. Army Medical Department by the Second Continental Congress.
Are you kidding? 1775?
They passed legislation establishing that a hospital needs to be available for an army consisting of 20,000 men. They're trying to take care of their men. That is a good thing.
Wait a minute. Is the army consisting of 20,000 men or the hospital?
No, the army. You have to have a hospital that can service.
Are you kidding me? They probably killed more guys than they saved back then.
Yeah, they probably did.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And I'm not saying it's a hospital of 20,000 beds, but you got to have.
That's what I'm saying, though.
They
would have been better off if they had no medical corps at that time. Believe me.
It was rough. Lord knows it was rough.
Everybody, stay the hell out of the hospital.
If you want to die,
go to the hospital.
All the way through the Civil War.
Take it from a doctor.
1789, the first U.S. federal government agency, which was the Department of Foreign Affairs, is established. Today, we know that little department as the Department of State, where today... And probably
how many thousand they'd employ? I mean, they're one of the biggest, right? After defense?
They were.
I think they're second after defense.
Right now, you can walk into the State Department and just claim a desk because there's hundreds of empty ones.
And set the place on fire.
The positions are not being filled.
Good.
No, this says you, but...
Okay. What do we need? How many State Departments and people do we need?
I don't know.
How many embassies do we need?
I don't know what the answer is.
I do. Not many.
Not many? Okay.
What do they do?
I'm
asking you, what do these people do, these bureaucrats? Isn't it like 9,000 people in the State Department or something?
Oh, it's a big number. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. 1866.
That may be too low.
Now, this is a good one, Armand.
Okay.
And I still am fascinated as to how do you actually do this. But the first transatlantic telegraph cable is successfully completed. This goes all the way from Ireland, Valentia Island, Ireland, to Heart's Content, Newfoundland. You're literally laying cable across the ocean floor.
How tough is that to do?
At some point, don't
you? Wow, I was wrong. 30,266.
30,266.
That's not enough, huh?
No, that's a small town.
God. It's a large bordello.
Well, that's a really large bordello.
Yeah, well, that's the way I like them. Hey, did you see that? You can rent a... Was it $88 an hour? You can sleep with a robot?
No.
Remember that was my... Did you ever listen to Ocho Man? That was
yeah, my, I know.
That
you
was
had
my
that.
Million-dollar idea.
You had that idea.
Yeah. Fuck of the Month Club?
Right, you had it.
It's going to be big, I'm telling
you. No, it is. It's going to be. It's going to be big. But no, you're laying this cable. So you're out there in a ship on the surface of the water.
Yeah,
you're dropping
so
the... But at some point, you would think, there's mountains and valleys. And
what's that got to do with anything?
I know, but you would think the cable's going to snap or something
no,
on
it's
it.
It's just... Pretty no, I don't think so.
It's really amazing to me that you can lay that much cable and not have a problem, and it works.
No, if the cable's floating in the air on the clouds, that's amazing. To drop it in the ocean, I don't think it's that amazing.
And not have it
how tough is that to do?
Well, no, that part's not tough. That I'm saying not having the cable get split, broke.
Well, it's durable. I mean,
wow.
That's
no, I'm really kind of.
They probably used nanotechnology.
No, they didn't.
Fullerenes.
No, no. But, 1890, this is the date that Van Gogh shoots himself.
Yeah, this guy really had it together, didn't he?
He dies 2 days later.
In agony.
In July 29th of 1890. Poor Vincent.
What a dumb shit, man.
It was a brilliant artist, though, man. You got to.
I don't like his stuff. I know you don't. That brilliant, tell you the truth.
I love it.
Like that Starry Night. Looks like a 12-year-old painted that.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Van Gogh, I mean, Gauguin should have killed him, man.
Boy. Well, maybe if Van Gogh would have stuck around, Paul Gauguin maybe would have killed him.
If he hadn't pulled a razor on him.
There you go.
He would have stuck around. Now, I think Gauguin was a much better painter.
I like Gauguin's work. I told you, I have a framed Gauguin in my room growing up. Not an original, not even a print, just a poster from an exhibition I went to. It was a really cool picture. I love that Tahitian stuff he did.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what's that one that is like, who are we? Where have we been? Where are we going? Mm-hmm. That one?
I don't know.
Who's the one
that
Yellow Christ? That was a good. I think it was Gauguin. I like
Christ. Check that out, because I don't know if that is either, but that's a good one. I'm going to post that one on the site today.
Well, it's not his birthday. He didn't shoot himself. You got to put something by.
Well, I'm going to put a.
Don't put Gauguin on.
I'm going to put a Van Gogh.
Van Gogh killed himself.
Gauguin will
put the portrait of Dr. Gachet. Yeah, there it is.
Let me see.
Yellow Christ.
I still can't see it. Yeah, that's a. I like Gauguin's work. It's good stuff.
Pretty descriptive, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's bright. Yeah. I mean, it's a hell of a use
master
of color.
Color.
1900. Kaiser Wilhelm. He makes a speech comparing Germans to the Huns. Way to go, Kaiser, because for years afterwards, a disparaging remark about the Germans would be the use of the word Huns.
I'm not exactly sure what he was getting at. I guess
I don't know either.
Well,
man.
I don't think it's necessarily a pejorative term. It's like, hey, we're warriors. The Huns were, you know, they're killers, right?
Yeah, they are.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I guess that's what he was trying to say. We're a warrior race.
I don't think it came out the right way.
Well, what's he talking about then?
Yeah. Are they really a warrior race?
Well, 14 years they would be.
Yeah,
whether they liked it or not.
It's true.
Have you been reading this thing? Did you see that thing?
Reading what thing first?
Well, I'm going to tell you. Princeton, they're looking for boys that are – they want a position filled, but it's by a man that has distinctly womanly characteristics. We talked about this, the pussification of this country.
They want a position filled
by
a man
who
has distinctly...
womanly characteristics, or sensitivity.
Who's this? Princeton?
Princeton.
The university?
Yeah.
For what reason?
I don't know what the position is. You got me in the middle. I was reading the article, and you pulled me out of there. But I'm just saying that this is... We talked about how every man in a commercial is a dummy.
Well, no, look, I told you yesterday, take the shot at the white American male has been something that's been going on for over 30 years.
Why do we let him get away with that shit?
What is it? Does it change your weight any? It doesn't change my weight
any.
Well,
I'm offended, remember? This is a country you can't offend anybody. That offends me.
I'm not offended because I know I'm not stupid. I know I don't act like Homer Simpson.
Maybe I am stupid.
Well, about some things you are. Other things, you're perfectly fine.
Oh, thank you.
1921, researchers. Toronto, University of Toronto, to be exact.
Oh, yeah. This is
Frederick
a big one.
Banting, and this is my first big one of the day that affects the world we live in. So Frederick Banting is a biochemist, and he is able to prove, along with his fellow researchers, that the hormone insulin can regulate blood sugar. Right. And now you have something to treat diabetes.
Well, not yet. But
not yet.
You're on the road.
You are on the road, and this is a big one.
I think Sanger was the one that did the insulin, actually the amino acid sequencing for here it is. Princeton University just announced a new position, quote, the interpersonal violence clinician and men's engagement manager. How's that for a position, huh?
Interpersonal violence and men's.
I just deleted it. Hold on.
Interpersonal violence and men's.
Clinician.
Clinician. Okay. So, yeah, violent interactions between people. Okay.
Interpersonal violence clinician and men's engagement manager.
I don't know what they mean by men's engagement.
They're seeking They're seeking qualified candidates now.
Yes.
The best will be the man who most acts like a woman.
Well, that just seems like a poorly written job description to me.
Princeton's program is similar to programs at other colleges and universities and is consistent with established best practices that encourage both men and women to create and foster a culture in which there is no place for interpersonal violence and where safe and healthy interpersonal relationships are the norm.
Do you have a disagreement about the violence part of this?
If it makes men pussies, yeah.
Oh, okay. So just men can rape and pillage.
Oh,
it's okay.
Boy. Yeah, be That's a hun. Okay. I'd rather be a hun than a pussy.
All right.
Nobody said that. But
wish you had a daughter.
I have four nieces.
Okay.
I teach them that all men are animals.
Well, then.
Remember that. I don't want men to change. I want women to be on the lookout. So it's better. Why don't we just
examine that statement?
Yes. Why don't we just emasculate men?
No. Which is go what we're back and to examine that statement.
Yeah.
It's the responsibility of the female of women.
Yeah, that's correct. Men are men. What are you going to do? You think this is going to have? First of all, you think this is going to have any effect at all? Men are men. We know that. You can't change biology. No matter how many transgenders you put in the army, you can't change this.
Disagree.
What do you tell your daughter?
Disagree.
What do you tell your daughter? What did you tell her when she went off to UCLA about men? Did you have a little talk with her? I'm asking you.
Oh, God.
Don't you tell her that all you got to look out for yourself? All these men, they want one thing, and be careful, right?
What I've told my daughter is that your peer group of males, on average, is much more immature than you are.
Okay, I'll buy that.
It's much more immature.
What are the implications of that?
She is not the one. Now, you can be vigilant and you can take precautions about standard things, campus safety and things like that. But it is not incumbent upon the female. It is not their responsibility to make sure or to prevent men from behaving badly.
But that's nature. I'm telling you, that's the nature of things. Men behave badly. I didn't say it's right or wrong. It's nature. Don't you agree? You were 18 years old. Did you give a damn?
I didn't rape anybody.
Yeah, but what I've done, I'll tell you what, qualifies probably as rape nowadays.
Well, then I would seriously contemplate the actions that you've taken in your past life.
Yeah, but I was 18. Now I'm 53.
No, doesn't matter.
What do you want me to do? What am I going to do about it?
Understand what you did and try to influence a young man not to behave in the same manner.
You can't do it. That's the problem.
I think you can do
it. When you've got this
it.
Nonsense.
I think you can do it. I think it's been successfully done in a lot of cases. Now, I will say this. The no bullying thing that goes on at school, while good intention, because we grew up in the no bullying district, okay? And one of the things that led to, Armand, was the kids were not allowed to basically have their own conflict resolution out on the playground. So what would happen is this. My kid would get knocked down by someone, pushed face first into the asphalt.
Yeah.
Okay. Both he and the kid then are in front of the teacher or administrator.
Yeah.
My son does not need to be in front of the administrator talking about the situation.
Okay.
He doesn't need to be. Okay. And I've watched a whole generation of kids in my community, and I've told the other parents, I said, all our boys are pussies.
Okay.
All of them are pussies. And they go, what are you talking about? I said, because they don't know how to resolve conflicts on their own. Well, do you want them fighting? I said, no, I don't want them fighting. I don't want them engaging in fisticuffs on a daily basis.
Why not?
But I want detente to work, which there's none of. Because now when the biggest guy in the room, when you can say anything at all to him and don't have to worry about any reprisal, okay, what happens? Then everything goes verbal.
Well, I'm gonna.
Then
to
everything
think about
goes mint, and I watch my own kids suffer from it because.
But let's stick.
Because there's been times when I've told my son, "Hey, look, you might have to be prepared. If someone comes up and does that to you, you might have to be prepared to take the consequences and just
shove
them back."
Not only that,
I've told him, "I will stand behind you if you do that." Because I've watched it. I have watched another child take my own kid and mush his face right into the asphalt on purpose, and then both of the kids are off talking to an administrator.
Well, I'll go even farther than that, though, and say when you start pussifying these things and turning into something like that, what you're doing is creating victims. Because you know these guys, the people that are going to be criminals and the people that are, when they do grow up and are going to be trying to take advantage of people, they don't look for the tough guy.
No, they look for the weak in the herd. They always do.
So why? That's what you're doing. Now,
so back to the thing. Okay. Though, you can teach a young man that advancing on a woman in a sexually predatory nature is not okay.
You can try, but you don't think they were doing that back in the 80s when I was in college?
No, they were trying.
Okay.
They were trying.
It doesn't work. That's all I'm saying.
No, I think it does.
I don't think it does.
But define
it's
work.
Ineffective.
If you want 100% success rate, you're never going to have that.
I'm not even saying any success rate. Zero. I don't think it's doing anything.
Oh, well, you can't prove that?
I can't prove, yeah. Well, of course, I can't prove anything, but that's my opinion. Yeah. Because when you're fighting nature, though, you're fighting a losing battle. That's all I'm saying. And I don't think are you telling me that the situation on campus is better these days than it was in the 80s because of all this nonsense?
I'm thinking about that.
I know
that.
It's not easy to answer. Here's
what I'm thinking. The aggressive guys eventually found the partners that were willing to play ball.
Then or now?
Then.
Or how about now?
And I think now
there's just no aggressive guys. You may have a point there. That may be true. Yeah, I take it back. You're right. There's more pussies, so there probably would be less. I'm saying that's not necessarily a good thing. Agree.
What I'm saying about this is, though, the lack of conflict resolution I see among young people today.
Well, that's a different issue, I think.
But no, it's the same issue, because if you can resolve a conflict, you're not necessarily moving on to the same thing. If you get bullied your whole life, okay, by verbal, you know, because what they did is took out the physical bullying. They did nothing.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that. About the mental bullying.
There's still a lot of intimidation that's tacit. I mean, you know.
Maybe.
A big guy is always going to have.
Yeah, but a big guy can't fight back.
Going to be imposing.
A big guy cannot fight back.
Well, but
I was the big guy in class. You were. Barely, even then in the 70s and early 80s, you were barely allowed to handle your business.
All right. I don't remember it that way, but okay. I don't even know what the hell we're talking about. How do we get on that subject?
I don't know. It's a good tangent.
Oh, Huns.
Kaiser Wilhelm and the Huns.
Yeah. Well, look at what pussies the Germans are now.
And then we had insulin from
the
University of Toronto.
Yeah, that's pussies too. Be a diabetic.
No.
Get tough.
Come on.
Deal with it. Have a candy bar. All right, anyway.
What's the opposite of diabetes? What's the one where is that hypoglycemic?
Hypoglycemia, yeah.
Okay. That's where you need to get your blood sugar up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the opposite of insulin is, boy.
Because my grandfather was the opposite of the diet. You know
glucagon.
What I mean?
Glucagon. Jesus Christ.
When he would kind of slip and almost go into a sort of a coma-like thing, Armand.
Yeah, well,
and they would take him to the
hypo.
Okay.
Right.
They would take him to the hospital. And they knew right what to do. They would just get the glucose drip out, put the IV in, and within 30 minutes, my grandpa was feeling great
again. Well, that's why diabetics that take insulin are supposed to keep candy with them and stuff like that, because when you start get the shakes, and we've all had it. When you're hypoglycemic, it happens.
Eat the candy or drink the orange juice.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Now I got that.
But glucagon is the hormone that's the opposite of insulin.
Glucagon.
It increases blood sugar.
In sugar. So they give you a bag of sugar and an IV drip. And
sure.
You go. Wonder what would happen to me if I just did that today. Just hooked up. Bag of sugar up to me.
That's what they always told us about. You're not worried about your diabetic patient that comes in, you know, feeling. You'll feel great.
Yes.
Because if their blood sugar is like 700, they feel fine.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They love it. They got the sugar high. That's what they say. They always be worried about your diabetic patient who's too happy.
Right. Okay.
The hypoglycemic guy comes in. He goes in a coma.
Right. Yeah. He's slipping into it.
Because he didn't eat today, and he took his insulin or whatever, and he goes. His blood sugar goes down to 40.
Right.
He's gonna go in a coma.
Right. Okay.
Those guys are in trouble.
All right. I think that's me.
I don't think you're hypoglycemic.
No. I go home and I fall asleep.
Oh,
I haven't eaten all day.
Well, that's probably your thyroid. You got to get your thyroid checked out.
Okay, I'll check that out. 1940, folks. Now, this is a biggie. This is a biggie in my world. I think it's a biggie in Armand's world.
Be very, very quiet.
I'm hunting rabbits. The animated short, A Wild Hare, is released by Warner Brothers. And for the first time ever, the introduction of Bugs Bunny.
Who is not named.
In fact, he's the Wild Hare.
Yeah, that's
in the
what
Wild
he is.
Hare.
Yeah.
He's not Bugs Bunny.
Now, we went over the origin of him. We talked about Clark Gable, and it happened one night. He actually runs into a character. He talks to a guy, and he says, remember Bugs Dooley? That's where they got the name. And he also's eating the carrot with Claudette Colbert, and that's where they got that.
Where'd they get What's Up, Doc from?
I don't know if that was in the movie.
What's Up, Doc?
Yeah.
Kids don't say that today, man. That's another thing. Here's another thing, Armand. Now you got me pissed. All right, you know what you can't see anymore on TV? The original Warner Brothers, Merry Melodies, and Looney Tunes, because you know what? They're too violent.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Well, the most violent show on TV for years, this was a great trivia question. What's the most violent TV show? And everyone would say some cop show. Oh, it was Roadrunner.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess, yeah.
I mean, because he killed the coyote like 5 times per 7 minutes short. It was beautiful.
Well,
did you ever find yourself rooting for the coyote?
I was never a big Roadrunner fan, to tell you the truth. I like these better.
I like Bugs. I like Daffy. I like Sylvester. And I like Foghorn.
Yeah. Well, those, I mean. But.
And I always rooted for Tweety to get eaten by Sylvester.
I'll tell you, you want to talk about violence. Supposedly, remember Wild Wild West with Robert Conrad?
Was it a TV show or a movie?
Yeah, Ross Martin and
TV show.
Well, yeah, the movie, they made a shitty movie with Will Smith, but it was based on the TV show in the 60s.
Yeah.
Well, they had fights in that show all the time, and it's like you almost got a medal because all their stuntmen were getting arms broken. And,
oh, no.
Oh, yeah. It was like that. They were really fighting on that show.
What a great job it must have been to be at Warner Brothers doing those shorts, making up ways to shoot ducks in the face to kill a coyote. It had to be wonderful.
Duck feeds on fire!
You don't have to shoot me now. Oh, yes, he does. Shoot me.
Shoot me now. Shoot.
He doesn't have to shoot you now.
Uh-huh. Yes, he does.
Pronoun trouble.
Such
a great bit.
Yep.
1949, another one that affects the world we live in today because, well, we can get around quicker. The initial flight of the de Havilland Comet, the first jet-powered airliner.
I bet it crashed. That was not a good plane.
It was not a good plane, but this was commercial jet-powered airline, and suddenly the gaps between cities and the rest of the world shrank immeasurably starting in 1949 when Boeing would release the 707 and I believe 57 or 58, and Eisenhower went on the tour where they, you know, like went from Washington to Rome to Cairo.
Doing what?
Just a publicity tour.
Oh.
You know, but they're like, they went from Washington to Rome in like 8 hours. I mean, you're having the time, if not even reducing it further. That's just, come on, you got to think about that, Armand. That's before, what would take you, I don't know how long, by a prop plane?
Yeah, of course.
You know, now you've cut that in half and then some. That's a huge, huge leap. Speaking of de Havilland, the birthday of Jeffrey de Havilland is indeed July 27th. He's the pilot, the engineer, and the founder of de Havilland Aircraft. He would die in 1965, so he did see his jet take flight, the Comet, and is born in 1882.
I don't know if Olivia's and her sister are related to him.
Yeah, check that out.
I think there's a relationship there. I think they're related somehow.
So halfway through the events, let's hit our other birthdays here today. 1905, Leo the Lip DeRocher.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he ever said nice guys finish last.
What a beauty. You know, he didn't get to manage Jackie Robinson because the Dodgers had to can him. Because of the is it the CYC, the CYO? You know, he was getting a divorce, getting married to his mistress. So at the start of the 47 season, you know, they had a campaign. It's detailed in the movie 42 because they got the Branch Rickey lets DeRocher go and brings in another manager, and then they bring in Robinson.
Oh, all right.
But Leo, man.
But that's his famous line, I think.
Yeah.
They're nice guys. Yeah, they're in last place or something. But I don't think he actually said nice guys finish last.
No, all those statements slightly off.
But it's true.
Sometimes.
See? And you want to make all these kids nice guys.
No. I want them to be able to resolve conflicts and respect women. That's what I want.
Good luck.
Okay. We disagree. Now,
impossible.
1922, Norman Lear.
Yeah. Now, this guy... All the Family is probably the best show ever. The first 3-4 seasons, that and Tyler Moore.
It was impactful.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just a sitcom. It meant something.
Yeah, and remember, it was supposed to be Mickey Rooney.
Oh, that would be so weird. That would be so weird. Can you imagine anybody else as Archie Bunker? I can't imagine Mickey Rooney as Archie Bunker.
Can't imagine anybody else as... Meathead or Gloria, too.
Well, I could imagine other people as Meathead and Gloria. I think Rob Reiner nailed it. But Carol O'Connor, I think that's just a piece of perfect casting. Right guy, right time, right role.
Well, it turned out that way, yeah.
And Norman's still going. Now, he's on that documentary that I've told you to watch, everybody over 90 who's still working. Oh. Carl Reiner, Lear, Mel Brooks, a couple other people are in
Bud
that
Yorkin, did he die?
I don't know.
I think he died, didn't he?
There's a whole set, though, in Hollywood that are still at it on a daily basis.
Gary Marshall died, we know that.
Yeah, he did. He did.
But, yeah, you know, I actually had a guy. Yeah, he's. Oh, you got to be kidding. Oh, he died 2015.
Just 2 years ago.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Anyway, I had a patient, and I think it was his, I don't know, it was in Waukegan, and he was related to the guy that Carol O'Connor sued because he was Carol O'Connor's, I don't think it was his real son, I think it was his adopted son.
I kind of remember this.
Yeah,
yes.
he had an adopted son,
right.
Foster son or whatever, and he died of a drug overdose.
Dose.
And
yes.
This guy from Waukegan, this Armenian guy, was his dealer.
Oh.
And Carol O'Connor went after him.
Good.
I think
good
he,
for Carol.
Yeah, I think he lost.
But he lost the suit.
They had the suit, yeah, but he didn't win.
His
brother or son was Mike Page.
So Norman's other shows. Because Mary Tyler Moore at the feminist age is coming about. And
I don't think that was Norman Lear, though.
Grant
Tinker, wasn't it?
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I'm just talking about the shows that I think are great. I don't think Norman Lear had anything to do with that.
What other show did you like from Norman?
I don't know. What other ones have you done? That's the big one. I can't think of it. I got to look this up, too,
because Norman, he's too big not to get this right.
Well, I'm sure he's got other ones, but that was...
See, I count on you for this Hollywood stuff. You're letting our...
Well,
you're
it's
letting
TV.
Our,
I'm more of a...
You're letting 19, our audience down here.
I'm more of a 1930s.
Here
oh, the Jeffersons, of course. All the spinoffs. Oh,
listen.
Okay.
All in the Family.
Right.
The Jeffersons. Sanford and Son. Good Times. Maude, which I did not like.
It wasn't bad.
I don't... Mary Hartman, which I know a lot of people liked, and One Day at a Time, which I did like, but for other reasons.
Why?
Well, Valerie Bertinelli.
Oh, I never thought she was that great.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. She's not that great looking.
Oh, God.
She's no Cheryl Ladd. Charlie's Angels on.
Yes,
you're watching that stupid shit?
No, I mean, Valerie.
Well, that's where you get your rocks off.
Valerie Bertinelli, she seemed attainable.
She was too good. She's too goody-goody, you know?
She married Eddie Van Halen.
I know, but she, on that show.
Oh, the character?
Well, you wanted
Mackenzie Phillips.
Well, yeah, she'd be a better lay, no doubt about that.
Well, you know, there'd be three Friday nights on
her. Oh, man. She'd get stoned on hash and do anything.
But look at, I mean, granted.
I like the nasty ones.
All in the Family, addressing all sorts of issues. The Jeffersons spins off of it.
Yeah.
One of the first TV shows where.
But you can't get away with that now. Are you kidding me?
No, I watched a good show the other night called Carmichael, because I'd seen this guy
do it. On what station?
I forget. I don't know. It was on network TV, though. Sanford and Son, which I loved.
No, I thought that was Bud Yorkin.
Well, he's known for, but Norman Lear, he's involved in these shows. Good Times. Good Times, which I never could appreciate as a kid because I didn't.
I thought it was good till the old man died. John Amos?
Yeah.
Remember the husband dies?
Yeah. That was rough.
Because that was the funniest part was him.
Oh, him when he would get on the kids?
Yeah.
Or, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Boy, he was a good dad.
And his wife, Florida.
Florida, yep. Esther Rahl.
Mary Hartman, I never watched One Day at a Time. I did watch. Because I had Schneider and Valerie Bertinelli. There you go.
That guy died too, didn't he?
Yeah. 1947, Betty Thomas. Happy birthday, Betty. Remember her? Hill Street Blues. Became a very good director.
Oh, okay.
She directed Howard Stern's Private Parts, which is a good movie. If you've never seen that.
It was all right.
No, come
on. I think
it
was very funny. I just didn't think it was very funny.
That's autobiographical.
I read the book. I read his book.
It's autobiographical.
Well, read the book.
Let's see what else she's done. Man, her directing credits for film, I Spy. Dr. Doolittle, Private Parts, Brady Bunch, the movie.
Oh,
she did
her.
A bunch of pop.
Boy, it looks like she's got a pattern there, huh?
But, man, well, she got paid.
Yeah, but she's doing TV spinoffs, it looks like.
Yeah. 1948, Peggy Fleming.
You know, the first woman that really was a director was Ida Lupino.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, she took over for a guy who got sick, and I think it was The Hitchhiker. And all of a sudden, she started being a director.
Ida Lupino.
Yeah.
1948, Peggy Fleming. Happy birthday,
executive
Peggy.
Executive producer, Bud York and Sanford and Son.
1953, my name of the day. You may not remember this guy. He was on MTV a bit back in the 80s. Yahoo Sirius.
Oh, I remember the name. I don't remember. Yeah, he was kind of a goofy-looking guy.
Goofball.
Yeah.
The red hair, the right. Like the Einstein
what
look.
That guy's 60-something years old?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, still out there kicking. Australian, the actor, director, producer, screenwriter. I think that's being generous.
Right, right. Yes.
Just oddball. There's my name of the day, though. Yahoo Sirius. I wonder what his real name is.
Cosmonaut, scientist. These guys in their credits, you know. Yeah, everybody's.
Real name, Greg Gomez Peed.
Peed.
Huh. Yes.
What the hell that is?
Yes. Peed. P-E-A-D. Born in Cardiff, New South Wales.
Oh, okay. Good for him.
That's in Australia.
An Aussie.
Yeah,
I know where Cardiff is. Well, Cardiff.
Well, there's the Cardiff Wales as well.
Yeah,
I don't want you to be confused.
New South Wales.
And it's also in the south of Wales.
You said New South Wales.
It's new. Which means
that's
Australia.
South.
Which is really south.
Where are the Southern Alps?
It's about as far south as you can go.
Where are the Southern Alps?
Southern Island of New Zealand?
Yep.
Is that right?
What a guess. You just guessed, didn't you?
Well, that's where they filmed the Lord of the Rings thing.
Oh, is that where
it's really, the geography is really dramatic.
I've never seen any of those movies.
They're pretty good. I mean, you really got to commit to it, though.
Yeah.
It's a long haul.
I'd rather watch the Godfather trilogy.
Even part three.
Yeah, maybe the Godfather duology.
Okay, there you go. All right, back to the events. Now, the three that I think have shaped our world, the insulin, Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny has a bigger effect on this world than you know. And, of course, commercial jet airliner. 1953.
Well, this is pretty big here.
Yeah, it is. And we're still in the middle of this as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I think you agree with me, don't you? Fighting in the Korean War ends. On this date, the 27th of July, 53.
Yeah, so let's occupy the place for the next 75 years.
China, North Korea, the U.S. signed an armistice, but the president of South Korea, Syngman Rhee,
yeah,
he
that's a good name.
Refuses to sign. Good for him. Because he knew the problem's not solved.
Maybe the guy had bad handwriting, huh?
No, problem's not solved. Why should I sign something? But he refused, he pledges he's going to observe the armistice.
That's big of him.
Yeah. And 70 years later, we're still sitting there on the 38th
doing
parallel.
Nothing.
I got Mike Pence walking out to the DMZ and staring at North Korean soldiers.
Uh-oh.
We
had to get a jab in there.
Go ahead. Mention your bête noire.
Global warming's a hoax.
There you go. Mike Pence is a jerk.
Oh, yeah.
1974, the House of Reps, the Judiciary Committee, that is, of the House of Representatives, they vote 27-11 to recommend in the first article of impeachment against Richard Nixon. The article would be for obstruction of justice. So now the clock is really ticking on Nixon at this point.
I think he'll be all right.
You think he's going to come through it?
I think he'll weather this, yeah.
I think he'll make it two more weeks.
No way. He's going to go all the way out to 76.
Now, he would have been in office till 77.
77, of course, yes.
On this date in 1987, I'm not too sure about
I remember
this. I want to get your feelings on this. A company is formed called RMS Titanic Incorporated, which begins the expeditions to salvage the wreckage of the Titanic.
Okay.
Now, many people have said, look, it's a gravesite. You got to leave everything alone.
No, it isn't.
I know you can go to Branson and you can see a lot of things brought up off the bottom of the Atlantic
from
the Titanic. I don't know. I go both ways on this, Armand, where I'm curious. I'd like to see something from the Titanic in person. I think that'd be neat. I don't know if I'm disturbing a grave because it's my understanding that
they're not bringing bodies up.
Well,
they're
bringing
them valuables.
It's my understanding that there's no bodies.
Well, I don't know about that. How can there be? Where the hell are they?
Salt water has dissolved everybody.
Oh, well, I'm sure there's something left, isn't there?
I don't know. I don't even know if there's bones because don't you think we would have seen some video evidence of?
I don't really care, but we're talking. This guy is for profit. I would assume they're going down there to find things.
Well, it's very expensive to take a sub 3,000 feet down. Is it 3,000 feet or 2,000 plus feet?
It's pretty far down.
It's
pretty
far down, man.
But if they're doing it, somebody's going to get something out of it. It's not an archaeological expedition.
There's no way to raise the thing, which...
No, who wants... I don't want to do that.
And eventually, and I don't know when, but the Titanic will just be nothing but a sort of a rust stain on the bottom of the ocean floor because the ocean is basically eating the iron.
Well, did you see they're dropping those old I don't know if they're the subway cars. I guess they are. Maybe the street cars or subway cars into the ocean.
Oh, yeah?
Because the coral, so the coral grows around them.
I like that.
And all that stuff. Yeah, I know apparently the sea life loves that stuff.
Yeah, because it gives them cover.
Whatever it is.
The coral has something to attach to grow.
I guess some kind of lattice. I don't know.
I remember they used to dump some, they would dump concrete as well, for coral to attach to.
Okay.
But yeah, it generates.
And by the way, we're not losing coral because of global warming.
No,
it has nothing to do with
it. Is anyone saying that?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, are you kidding?
No, I didn't know.
The coral's going to die.
I haven't heard that.
Oh, you want to see the articles? The Great Barrier Reef is gone. It's bleaching. They call it bleaching.
Bleaching?
Yes, which is horrible, which actually does nothing. Yes, the coral is whitening somewhat. It has nothing to do with any of its health or it does not indicate it's dying.
What does it indicate?
It's getting lighter.
What a scientific explanation.
Yeah, right, right.
It used to be orange. Now it's slightly light orange. Well, thank you, Armand.
Talk to your climate change buddies.
So,
Al Gore, who was a great prize,
would
vice
you,
president.
Would you like to go down on the submarine and see the Titanic?
I thought you were
going
to ask me if I'd like to go down on Al Gore.
No,
pervert.
Stop.
Yeah, well.
Stop.
That's what I thought you were going
to
say.
No, would you like to go down in the sub and see the Titanic?
I don't want to see it.
See, that I would like to
I'd
do.
Rather go to the Rio and see the display in Vegas. That I saw. It cost me $25.
Oh, well, you're kidding.
Well, wait a minute. If the submarine's free, I'd rather do that. Yes.
Submarine ain't free. It costs you.
Well, fuck that.
I'll
go see it in Vegas.
1996. This is the date of the
showgirls there, too.
The Centennial Olympic Park exploding.
Yeah. That guy that they.
Richard Jewell.
Jewell, that's right. Why did I think I was going to call Felt? Because I knew something. I got to get my.
They went after him.
Better.
They
now, he sued, though, didn't he?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Lucky bastard.
So the pipe bomb at the 1996 Summer Olympic Games. I don't know if Jewell got anything. Sued the FBI,
you always get money. So.
And also, in 2002, a disaster.
They made a movie about him.
Unintentional.
Can you believe that?
And you may have seen footage of this, Armand. If not, we'll post it on Facebook. The SU-27 at a Ukraine air show.
The guy died.
He did.
Wow. 44 years old.
An SU-27 basically looks a lot like an F-15 Eagle. It's the Soviet-Russian sort of version of the Eagle. Okay? And they're at an air show in Ukraine, and the SU-27 crashes during the show, and it kills 77 people, injures more than 500, and it's the deadliest air show disaster in history.
And a lot of people want to get rid of all these air shows.
I love air shows.
Oh, everybody does, but they're saying it's not worth it because they're dangerous.
Oh, damn. But these things do happen.
Well, hell yeah, they happen.
I like seeing the old planes, actually. Like when they have
fun.
Well,
Blue Angels and those guys, Thunderbirds.
I've seen the Thunderbirds once. It was spectacular, man.
Well, I'm just saying. But those guys crashed, too.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have. I know.
Still can't find out if Jewell won any money.
Yeah. Why don't you sue?
I'd love to.
Well, you have to prove they've wronged you, but you can probably come up with.
Why? No, you don't.
You'd probably come up with something.
Prove anything.
All right, who died on July 27th? I only have about 6 to 7. Gertrude Stein passed away in 1946.
Gertrude Stein.
Stein?
No.
Stein? Were you a fan?
No.
I didn't think you would be.
Rose is a rose is a rose.
There you
go. Well, that's brilliant poetry, Gertrude.
Way to go, Gertrude. 1948, Joe Tinker of Tinkers to Evers to Chance passes away.
Tinker is Tinker, not Tinkers.
I always say that.
Yes.
It's Tinker to Evers to Chance.
Yes.
But he's part of the great early.
I think they're all in the Hall of Fame.
Chicago Cubs team. Yeah, because these guys are not the greatest hitters in the world because no one was a great hitter in 1908. No. You had to be a great defender.
Well, I think the White Sox were the hitless wonders, I think, right? 1906? Their team batting average was like .225 or something like that.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
And I think they won the World Series.
But,
right?
The
pennant.
Tinker, Evers, Chance. This was the 1908 Cubs.
Yeah, they beat the Tigers.
They beat the Tigers, but it was also, wasn't it Merkel's boner? Was that involving the Cubs in a World Series?
That was late. That was against the Giants, I think. But that was to get to the World Series.
To get to the World Series.
Yeah, where he walked off the field without scoring, or before the guy scored, and they had to replay the game. Yeah, Merkel's. We got a boner today, too, I want to talk about.
Okay, good.
Snodgrass.
1981, William Wyler passes away, the great director, favorite Wyler.
Ben-Hur, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
But he won 3 Academy Awards.
No argument.
And I think he's got the record for the most acting nominations. And he's the only man to direct 3 Best Pictures.
Wow.
Can you name them? I just named one.
Ben-Hur, 59. The Apartment?
No, that's Billy Wilder.
That's Wilder. See, I always get the two confused. No, Stalag 17?
No, that didn't win Best Picture.
I don't know.
1942, Mrs. Miniver.
Mrs. Miniver.
And 1946, Best Years of Our Lives.
That's a tough watch.
And he's got more, you know, Academy Award winners under his belt, films he's directed. Betty Davis said this is a guy that made me a great star.
Did he do All About
and
Eve?
Believe me, she banged him for it.
Did he do All About Eve?
No, that was Joe Mankiewicz. Although he won best director.
Well, you think that'll ever be? You think Spielberg could get to three best pictures?
I don't know. Has he got any? I think he's got Schindler's List. I don't think Saving Private Ryan didn't win.
No, because they did Shakespeare in Love.
Yeah,
that was a.
Has he got any other ones? That's it, right?
Complete. Just God bless. Are you kidding me? Shakespeare in Love.
Well, I think that was a better script. Now, as a movie, that's debatable.
Unwatchable, in my opinion.
Uh-oh.
I cannot stand it.
Jeez.
I've hated Gwyneth Paltrow ever since. Oh, God, I can't take it.
They taped up her tits and everything.
She almost ruined Iron Man for me. 1988, Frank Zamboni.
I just hate her politics.
Frank Zamboni.
We know who this guy
is. He invents, of course, the Zamboni. And founded the Zamboni company.
Yeah.
And the hockey fans
Brilliant
of the world.
Guy, yes.
And the skating rink fans of the world.
We salute you.
1993, Reggie Lewis passed away.
Yeah, what happened to him?
Boston Celtic. Well, this is bad times for the Celtics.
Well, what happened?
Lynn Bias died in 87 as a draft pick, and Reggie Lewis is on the roster. He's a starter, and he dies in 1993 on this date.
Well, that's why I'm asking. How?
I don't remember.
He's a young guy.
Right. He was only 28 or turning 28 when he passed away. 2003, Bob Hope.
He was about 29, right, when he died?
No, more like 100.
Now, I've read his book, Don't Shoot, It's Only Me. It's pretty good. I think he had the record for the longest marriage in Hollywood. He was like married like 60-something years to Dolores, I think his wife's name was.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he was married a long time. But then Art Linkletter, I think, beat him because he died and then Linkletter.
How good was Hope?
I love Bob. You look at Woody Allen, he stole everything from Bob Hope.
Good.
You ask me.
Well, Woody knows who to steal from then. Good.
Plus, he entertained the troops, and you can tell he's a good guy.
Well, you've never seen Good Morning Vietnam. You don't remember.
I've seen it. I didn't think it was that good.
Well, they wanted to get Bob Hope to come for the troops, but Hope won't come because it wasn't officially a war.
Oh, that's correct. Well, that's what Don Rickles always said.
Bob likes a big room.
Yeah. Bob Hope would be here, but he's out looking for a war. Lewis suffered sudden cardiac death. Yeah. On the basketball court.
Yeah, probably in a summer league type game or practice.
Brandeis University, 27 years old.
27, hadn't turned 28 yet. And that, between Bias and Reggie Lewis, it set the Celtics back a full plus decade.
Cocaine may have been a contributing factor, however, the autopsy scarring on his heart was inconsistent with cocaine use.
2003.
Wait a minute, I'm done with, Bob Hope,
baby. I never got to see Hope in person. The two people I missed in person that I really do regret, Armand, I'm being serious here for a second. I'm not having a go. I probably should have went and seen Sinatra the few times he came to town, even as an older guy. And I should have gone and seen Hope, even though it was probably cue card reading at that point.
Well, I would have seen him, but they didn't want him to come to Wash U and do the commencement.
You're kidding.
So, yeah, the libs didn't want him.
Why?
Because he's a warmonger. That's why.
He's not a warmonger.
You think I believe that?
Wait a second.
That's
time out. No. How the hell is Bob Hope a warmonger?
Well, if you go to Vietnam and you go to Korea and all this and he's supporting troops,
by the way, that are drafted. These weren't volunteer armies, okay?
Yes, but they're cisgender. So they're not real troops.
Stop it. Let's
And by the way, I got an argument for you to
stay
about
on point
that.
With me, okay?
I'm not You think I agree with that? I'm telling you what these nutcases said. Yeah, I agree with that. I don't want Bob Hope to come to Wash U.
I didn't say that.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I want you to.
But you're the sensitive guy.
I got a problem with.
Me too.
With a campus saying no to a guy like Bob Hope.
Well, even back in '84, I think it was '85. I wasn't a senior, so it must be '84. Yeah, these fucking nuts. They don't want Bob Hope, and he didn't come.
Why? Because he went to Reagan's inauguration or something.
Who knows?
So did Don Rickles. Would they turn down Don Rickles?
I'm sure they would have.
Who the hell they want?
Barry Commoner, that's who they want. Barry, remember him?
Barely.
Nutcase jerk.
Want John Anderson? He's available.
They want they want Malthus.
Ted Kennedy be okay?
Frederick Engels. Somebody like that, you know. Woodrow Wilson.
I don't get it. Calling Bob Hope over.
Even back then, these guys are nuts. But anyway, he was a boxer.
Bob was?
Yeah. Oh. Packy East. That was his boxing. And he made seven road movies with Bing Crosby, which Bing Crosby's dead. They were thinking about making another one in 77 when Bing Crosby died. Apparently, he was devastated by that.
By Bing's death.
Oh, yeah. That really
They really were friends.
Oh, yeah. The best of friends.
But Lewis and Martin were friends, but they really weren't.
No, they didn't like each other, really. They had Abbott and Costello couldn't stand each other.
Right. Even the
Laurel and Hardy loved each other. Yeah. They were good friends.
And the Marx brothers were, but.
Well, they're brothers, but they hated each other
But
the
Groucho
end.
Really did love Harpo and vice versa.
Yeah, he didn't like Zeppo and Gummo, but that was when they got older. But these guys were really good friends. What else I want to say about Bob Hope? Oh, he's still got the record for the most Academy Awards hosted. I think
he did
17.
Well, he did them all back in the 40s, 50s.
It's Academy Awards night, or better known in my house as
Passover.
Passover.
It's a great line.
Or the other one, better known as The Fugitive. He wrote, remember when Truman won in 48? He wrote him a telegram, had one word on it, unpack. Because it was such an upset.
Yes,
unpack. And Truman apparently loved it so much he put it on the wall.
Oh, that's
He framed
great.
It and put it on the wall.
Unpack.
Yeah. So you can just tell this guy's really nice. I mean, Bob Hope. Oh, I was going to tell you the story that really got me. I was in Chicago. So this had to be like 98, 99, I guess.
Okay, so did you see him?
No, but he's on the radio. And what really, he's on one of those, like a show like this.
Like a WGN.
They weren't as charming as we are.
Sure.
But he's on the show. And it was really sad. I almost cried because the guy, it was obvious he's trying to make jokes.
And it's not.
But he's so old.
Yeah.
You know, he's fucking him up. You know, and you know what he's trying to say. Yeah. And it was like, you felt so sorry for the guy. I mean, I really thought I felt bad.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, that was like one of the few times I'm listening on the radio in my car and I feel like pulling over and crying because the guy was, you know, the guy's a genius, but he's just, he's losing it.
I remember being told a story.
Oh, man, that was tough.
Sinatra had come to town. And he was pretty up there. And a friend of mine actually went to the show.
Yeah.
And he was playing, we do the show out of St. Louis, near St. Louis, folks. He was playing a room called the Kiel Auditorium. Pretty big room.
Yeah.
They used to have the NBA, St. Louis Hawks.
Intimate confines.
Used to play there, right? And Frank's up, he's going through a song. And
Francis Albert.
And he blanks.
Oh, wow.
He blanks. And the crowd's like, oh, and it kind of goes quiet. And my buddy Carl says, out of the audience, he just hears a guy yell, that's all right, Frank.
Right. Some Italian guy from the hill. Forget about it.
That's all right, Frankie.
Right. I think we can.
But at least Hope would take the cue cards out with him. And apparently another friend of mine said he went to see him and he saw him at the Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a really nice theater.
Yeah.
Okay. That's like a Radio City music hall type venue.
Yeah.
Okay.
We know that. Yeah. It's got that.
But our fans.
Art Nouveau kind of
stuff.
Our
fans may not know. It's a big room.
We don't have any fans.
Yes, we do.
We have one.
Matter of fact, we had one. I was.
I saw the guy.
A guy wrote me a very nice
Georgia?
Note. He about you. He enjoyed you on Surreal Talk.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yes. He enjoyed
obviously
you.
Obviously, very erudite.
There you go.
Very
and
prescient.
And
being.
My friend Bill said, you know, he went and he goes, it was so blatant. You would look in the orchestra pit and there'd be the guys holding the cue cards.
Well, I wish he had this on the radio because that day on the radio, I'll never forget that. It's like, oh, Bob, God, you're making it. And apparently, you know, he'd visit all these troops that were injured or wounded.
Yes.
And he, the deal was, because everybody that went with him, he always told me, he said, listen, no crying. No, you can't be maudlin about this. We're going to visit these troops. No matter how
beat.
And he saw, I'm sure he saw some gruesome shit.
Oh, he had to.
So that was his rule. And apparently one time he like had to get out because he was going to cry. Because apparently some guy was in a coma for 2 weeks.
And he responded
and he goes,
to Bob?
Bob, what are you doing? Bob Hope, what are you doing here? Or something like that. Or when did you come? And it's like he just lost it. And he had to get out of the place.
I'd lose it.
And he went back later and gave the guy a purple
heart.
Now, is
he the one responsible for bringing Marilyn to Korea?
Ooh. Well, probably I would think. Who else would?
The famous, "Oh, Joe, you can't believe the when she tells Joe DiMaggio, "Oh, you can't
you can't believe how they were all the crowds or whatever
respond to cheer," and Joe goes, "Yes, I can."
I think he said, "You've never seen anything like it," or something. "Yes, I have."
"Yes, I have."
Yeah, right. Which reminds me of that scene in Apocalypse Now. Remember with the Playboy bunnies?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then, but the one in the redo.
Now, didn't he take Anne Margaret to Vietnam and?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She went. Right. Yeah. Okay. That's famous. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, she's looking good. She's still. Well, she didn't look that good.
No, she. Come on. It's Anne Margaret.
I know. But I saw her hands in that movie.
Oh, stop.
Like, don't look. And that was the only thing. I saw Zsa Zsa. I had breakfast right by Zsa Zsa Gabor one morning.
Not with. By.
Well, yeah, with. Oh, Zsa Zsa and I had a nice talk. But she had goulash. I had Eggs Benedict. So, anyway, but she looked pretty damn good. But then I looked at her hands and was like,
"That's the towel."
I mean, yeah, it looks like the mummy. You
can't. You can moisturize all you want, but the hands, they take a beating.
That's the key.
They take a beating.
But anyway, that's Bob. I like Bob Hope.
All right. Well, one more death. Jack Tatum, famous Oakland
Raider. I wrote his book, too. They Call Me Assassin.
They Call Me Assassin. You can get that at Amazon or probably on Audible. I don't know. Check.
I'm sure.
Go through thisdayinhistorypodcast.com and look for Jack Tatum's book. Of course, he paralyzed Daryl Stingley.
Yeah, I met him too. He came to my.
You met Daryl?
Yeah, he came to our bar. Nice guy.
Nice guy.
What a shame.
So, out of our events, Bugs Bunny, the Wild Hare, the first release of a Bugs Bunny short.
Korean War ending, probably.
The Korean War ending, or.
Although it's not, technically.
Or the hormone insulin being improved to regulate blood sugar.
Well, they isolate. Yeah, but.
What do you
They
have?
Haven't done anything about it for a while.
No, they really haven't made any advances there, have they?
Now, wait a minute. What did you got down here about the insulin? What happened to Best? It's not just Banting. Oh, Led by.
Just
because it's always Banting and Best.
Banting and Best.
Don't forget him.
Yeah, I forgot Best. I should have put Best in there.
Yeah, that makes you the worst.
Well, that's true.
Oh, and I also got a bone to pick with you about this think about this. This was your argument yesterday, right? A man should be allowed, or a person, should be allowed to serve their country, correct? Is that your argument?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to join the Army. I'm 54 years old. What's stopping me? And I'm in good shape, but I can't join, right?
I wouldn't let you join for combat.
Well?
I'd let you join in logistics and support. Absolutely.
But that therein lies, because I've been reading up on this stuff.
Did you know there's a transgender Navy SEAL, apparently?
I saw that. But here's the problem. Here's the problem, and this is I think, what's really got people going.
What, they want to have the military pay for the...
Well, not only, the hormones and all these other things.
Yeah.
And they have to take all these sensitivity classes, because you can't just have a transgender. You have to be sensitive to them. And they had a guy on the radio the other day, or today.
I heard an estimate on the cost of that, and it was like 8.4.
Were you talking about the hormones? Or
yeah, it's like 8.4
I'm not even talking
million.
About all that, even if you say, listen, we're not going to pay for that.
Right.
These guys have to take these training classes.
Really?
Yeah, because they're sensitivity classes of all this. And the guy said, we should be out there in the field, you know, putting bayonets on, you know, whatever, killing people. So there's all that stuff, too. There's a problem.
No, I would let you... be in the armed forces in any support logistic role that you saw fit?
Well, I'm not sure I oppose that if that's what you're going to put the transgender people in, if you don't pay for their procedures or their hormones or any of this other stuff.
Well, but here's the thing.
But how do you do that?
Well, hold on a second. I have a thought on this.
Just one?
No, it's a couple.
Multiple thoughts.
Should the military, if you're a military active personnel member,
yeah,
whether it's combat or any other,
yes.
Should they be responsible for paying for your elective medical procedures?
Well, it depends on what's elective. I mean, technically, it's a bunion's elective, but you're not going to get your boots on.
Right. No, so a bunion, I think the military should literally take care of.
Because I think the definition of an elective procedure is something that is not life, that you could have, not have it, and you could. We're not talking about a nose job. We're talking about.
Right.
That's cosmetic.
So
what is elective?
That's where I kind of get caught here. I'm like, you have to define it, I guess. Is transgender, what did you call it, a therapy or?
Well, that's the question. Because
is it elective?
They say no. Okay. Because they say I'm not a whatever. I don't know. Is it women that are turning into men? I'm not even sure what we're talking about here.
Well,
or is it men that want to be women?
I think it goes both ways.
Because that's, what's his name?
It goes both
Chelsea
ways.
Chelsea Manning.
Yeah.
I think the Army paid for him. Not the Army, the prison. He went to jail, and the taxpayer eventually paid for him.
I mean, but
they say that's
necessary?
Yeah, because it's a legitimate because it's not some, what is it, gender dysfunction? That's supposedly a legitimate psychiatric disorder.
Okay.
Well, then you're going to have to pay for it. It's not elective.
And if the true cost estimate for the, and I also heard the estimate of
it's astronomical.
Well, hold on. It is between 1,600 and 6,000 was the estimate.
For what?
Of transgender in the armed forces, for the four branches plus Coast Guard.
You mean how many people?
Yeah.
I saw like 240. Where'd you get that figure?
I just heard it.
I saw 240.
It was just an estimate. And the person, and they clearly defined.
All right, let's split the difference. It's about 800 people.
Yeah.
Is it worth it?
And they said this is just an estimate.
So it's got to be, microscopic.
And then the cost estimate was about $8.4 million in cost to.
But for what? These procedures to actually.
Yeah. Which as a slice of the budget is
nothing. I agree, but I was more what I found more distasteful, but what I
is
found more wasteful.
People go through sensitivity,
right? Because putting these guys, because everybody apparently has to take these classes. It's not it's not a negotiable thing. You have to, and they're wasting time.
Interesting. I saw the transgender SEAL.
I saw that on Facebook too,
and I'm like.
He looked like a pretty badass guy.
My first question, though, is this real? Because everything.
Yeah,
now,
I guess.
My first question is this real?
Speaking of which, I saw Caitlyn Jenner a picture. Man, he looks all. I saw one, that picture on, was it Rolling Stone or?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it was him. I thought, hey, that's a pretty hot looking gal.
Oh, I think if you're just glancing through.
Right. I didn't know who it was. But then I saw this picture on Facebook.
Dude, let me tell you.
That's a guy.
Have you ever seen what Heron? I'm telling you, Armand, what Heron makeup can do is amazing. There are makeup artists who they've got what's called like a paintable face, and they can sculpt themselves. It's not even sculpting. It's just shadowing, basically. They can use the makeup, and they can make themselves look like anybody as long as you're looking from a certain perspective.
Well, hey, listen.
So they could make you look like Cary Grant if you had the approximate bone structure. They could. It's really, you got to see it. I mean, I've watched some of these where just, and not an ugly girl and not a drop-dead beauty. Just a nice-looking woman will do this makeup and turn herself into almost any movie star. It's really fascinating what you can do because all it is color and light.
I've seen these drag queens. They look better than women.
I saw a drag queen in South Beach who was dressed up as Monroe from the Seven-Year Itch.
Probably look more like Monroe than Monroe did.
He was a hefty fella, and he hadn't shaved his arms.
Oh.
But from the neck up, it was a fair approximation of Marilyn Monroe.
Well, I'll keep looking at the neck up because I don't want to see anything below that. But I just wonder. I mean, I'm not even sure what they are. Are they men or was it a woman that was – it's got to be a man, right? Because you can't put a dick on somebody. But they look so feminine.
But Armand, that's what I'm saying. We can make
it's just the hormones.
We can make you look feminine just by makeup.
Yeah, but is this? I'm talking about the body, the legs.
Oh,
they don't look like male legs.
Oh.
These guys are on a runway, and they look like women.
I don't know.
They have the ass, the whole thing.
I don't know.
I know. That's what I'm wondering. I don't know.
Like I've told you before, there's more than two forms of sexuality, and I think there's more than two forms
of
gender.
Have you seen that? Well, what is it, the New York or whatever? One of them has some kind of citizenship application or whatever, and they got 57 gender. Remember, we went over that.
57?
Yeah. 57 wow. Gender choices. Jeez. We went over it on the show.
I do remember that now.
Now that...
That seems... Yeah. That's more than I'm thinking. I'm just thinking we have about four sexualities.
Biology, hide your face.
And about four to five ranges.
Huh?
Yeah.
I think we have two. Now, mentally, you may be different, but we have two genders. You're defying science again.
That's the rough part of it, isn't it? All right, July 27th, that's a wrap. It's in the books, folks. This has been an entertaining show. So, for Armand Kachigian, producers Andrew Allen, Brian Crock, and show writer Corey Smith, don't forget, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet, and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. When July 28th rolls around, we will be right here to tell you about it on lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.